Succession number 20166, Reel 1.
We used to keep, I still have one actually now, I've hoped I don't want the person show people. We used to keep, well, the Facebook at school.
Aye.
And I was very, very interested in that. And I've still got it, but that was about the war.
Yeah.
It wasn't about women in Sheffield.
No, no.
We had a very good teacher in those days. I went to Fulwell Girls. I was captain of Fulwell Girls. And I got into the arts in the 90s.
Ah, yeah.
But I don't know whether my point of view was out.
Oh, well, we're interested in anything, you know. That we're, so you started as a typist down there, did you?
I was only 14.
Yes.
I started a lot earlier.
Yeah, and this was John Crowns.
John Crowns.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was an auntie. This is how I thought maybe I could have heard. She was the forewoman.
Ah, yeah.
Of the ladies in the
Yes.
And she actually got me the job.
Ah.
And I wasn't in the office with the girls and with... It wasn't my job, although I was the little telephonist and the typist. I really wasn't like a clerk because I mixed so much with the yard men and the foremen and the women.
Yeah.
So I would have maybe known a bit more than the people in the office.
Yeah, right. So when was it you started down there?
Well, I must have been in 1944. That was at the end.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. But so I was still there when the Admiralty.
Yes, yeah. So the women will already have been down there when started.
But as I said, there were, I would think their age would start from about 30, and I don't remember seeing very many young women.
No, no.
In the shipyard.
Yeah.
And actually we had, in the office where we had, it was on legs in the middle of the shipyard, which was the yard manager's office. And he could walk round this office and it was all windows and he could see what was going on right throughout the shipyard.
Yes.
And could keep a bird's eye view, so he could watch everybody.
Yeah.
And I used to stand and watch people. But the women did mainly push barrows about and collected the scrap, you know, quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
And then we had what we call workshops on the way down the yard. And it appeared to me that each foreman was given one woman, which replaced the person who did all the odd jobs in these little shops, or probably apprentices, you know, because most of the young boys were called away to the war.
Yeah, that's right.
And these women really did substitute, I would have thought, for the apprentices in those days. The apprentices in those days really did very little work for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
They mostly made their tea.
Mm.
And did all the odd jobs. If anybody wanted something to eat, they ran out for them.
Yes.
But the women, I think they substituted an awful lot for the men, you know, that were there that did all these odd jobs.
Yes.
But you did get women on lathes and things like that. They're doing very simple jobs, like what machines would do now.
Yeah. How, in general, do you think they responded to being called to work down there? Did they seem happy in their work?
Oh, yes, yes. I think it was marvellous how they adjusted to the way of men's life in the shipyard.
Yes.
Because in those days, I think the northeastern men have, how should we put it, I suppose southerners would call them manly caps. Now, I don't think that a man of here is as much of a manly cap as he was in those days.
Yes.
He was really a good northeastern man, you know. And it was harder to work with that type of man.
Yes.
Nowadays, if a woman walked onto a factory floor, the man would watch his language and things like that. But in those days, they didn't.
Did they not?
I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
I remember on one occasion, as an office junior, I was called upon to launch a ship. And I knew everybody by name, the shipyards almost. And this foreman, he was a former riveter.
So
the riveters in those days were quite a hard lot. And the foreman was no exception. And I had to do this launching. Well, it was not an elaborate affair by any means, but the yard manager was a superstitious man who didn't allow a ship to go off the stocks unless it was Christmas.
Yes.
He was very superstitious. So it wasn't that I was important, just that I had to junior, and I got this job, and I was perched on two boxes, and I was given a bottle, and I don't know what was in the bottle, but it was probably the cheapest of wine, and I think it was tied up with string, and he told me what to say, and it was the usual speech. I named the ship, and it was the ship called Empire Longland, and I missed the first time, and the second time, and it broke over the falling riveter's head. I just remember it was in the vicinity, and the language that came out was, it was really choice.
Yes.
Well, this was the type of thing, you know, women had to adjust to, which I thought was marvellous.
Yeah, right.
And of course then there was the weather that had come, which wasn't a woman's way of life at all.
Yeah.
You know, there was no central heat at the place then. They had to go out in the snow. Mm-hmm. And when they went up the gangways and things like that, you know, it was all snow. And, it was really hard. I saw it from a comfortable point of view from the office window.
Right.
And I often used to wonder how they stood it. It was really cold.
Yes.
Shipyard. But I don't know if there's anything you'd like in particular to go into.
Well, you know, generally I'm just working through things.
Did
that...
Did the ladies bring anything out that maybe I could help you with?
Well, it's funny because talking to them, they all say what an enjoyable form of work it actually was.
Yes, I think it was, because it opened many doors for women.
Yeah, in what way?
Went into a man's world, I would have thought.
Mm, mm.
A lot of women knew, in those days, knew nothing else but being, you know, in the house and looking after children, and they were liberated in many ways.
Yes.
Into a different kind of world which had never ever known.
Mm-hmm.
I think they coped with it marvellously. I mean, just to go to walk down the shipyard alone. I remember the first time I ever walked down. Of course, you got all the men wolf whistling at you to begin with. And being very young, I was very embarrassed at the time. And then I remember the yard manager telling me, now, with this office being on stilts, I had to go upstairs.
Yes.
And immediately underneath the stairs was a grinding machine, which all the men used to grind all their tools.
Yeah.
Well, I used to trip up these stairs, you know, in a nice little short skirt, which was quite a million in those days.
Yes.
And in no uncertain terms, the yard manager told me, and he used to call me Ginger. And he used to say, Ginger, he said, I'd like you to wear a pair of trousers. and of course I said, why? You know, I said, I don't wear trousers. And he didn't enlarge, and it was a few months after I realised why.
Yes.
Because all the apprentices were standing up as I whipped up the stairs, you know.
Yeah,
this
was
the type of thing that went on. And there was a bit of a conflict with, because I really was under the office manager as well as the yard manager. And then I had a conflict with him that it wasn't ladylike to wear trousers.
Oh.
He didn't wear trousers. And so he said, I would be grateful if he didn't come to work in trousers.
Yes.
So then my manager, the yard manager, he saw me without any trousers. He said, I thought I told you to wear trousers. And I said, no, you know, the company secretary called me and told me to come back to you. He said, you never mind that, I'll sort that out. And so the next time this company secretary came down, he had him in the office, and then I had to wear trousers. So I always wore trousers while I think I was the only member of the office staff that was allowed to wear trousers.
Yes.
This is the type of thing. Yeah.
And was that because you were popping in and out more?
Well, I circulated around the shipyard.
Yeah.
I had to go on a Monday morning. I had to go and collect or give out the workbooks.
Yes.
And each foreman used to put in what work he'd done. Whether it was the repair job, because I don't know if you've gone into the history of John Crown in the
I haven't. I've been dealing mainly with the likes of Doxford's. Looked at Bartram's
and this was a very, very old firm and very well established.
Was the actual owner of the yard, he was still there?
No, he wasn't.
Was he not?
What happened, John Crown died and he only left daughters.
Ah, I see.
And the daughters eventually, you know, I think they got ran out and the families didn't want to continue. And then Joseph L. Thompson's too.
Yeah, right. It's just I was talking to a chap, a plumber who's just sort of retired, and he did his apprenticeship in Crowns.
Oh, what was his
and,
name?
Alan Bell.
Bell. Oh. The foreman plumber then was a man called Stannis.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
I remember all the foreman's names.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this chap remembered John Crowne. He was saying he's a right funny old devil. He used to come down when the apprentices were out their time, he'd give them half a crown and throw them in the river. Mm. And of course, the inevitable happened one day. They threw a lad in who couldn't swim and pull him out and pump the water.
You got some of the strangest things. I remember one of our foreman theatres had a glass eye and I didn't know it. Because all the foremen used to assemble in our office.
Yes.
And if the foreman had to sort any men out, you had to have the men up in that office. And I mean, I was only the next office. Yeah. The language was choice.
Yes.
And this foreman used to come to work sometimes, he didn't know die in the right way, you know.
Oh, dear.
Things like that you had to cope with in that kind of world. It was really good. That's what I think.
How do you?
I've forgotten your name.
Ian Roberts.
Ian Roberts as well, which I think the women were very courageously open with.
Yes.
It was the weather, which was always very bleak in the wintertime. And the only means of heating they had was like braziers.
That's right, yeah.
You know, and you would get them round the braziers, heating their cans up and things like that. So, no doubt they did potatoes and things like that.
Yeah.
The women used to go to the Manichee or the South Dock when the ship was finished.
Yes.
And they would clean the ship out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd go down with all their buckets and pails and everything. And then they would go down after a ship was completed. Because when the ship went off the stocks, it was just in the raw state, you know, there's no furnishings in there or anything.
Right.
So they would go down and they would help clean the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And the curtains and things, you know, had to be put up in some of the cabins.
Yeah.
This was very interesting.
So really the women would have been more flexible than the blokes they replaced?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, yeah.
Yes.
I should imagine they would have to get bones in previous to that, you know, to polish, to get a woman's touch on the ship.
Yes.
You know, after it was completed.
Uh-huh.
They would have probably had to employ people, but when the women were there, that was their job.
Yeah. Can you remember, was there any trouble? I mean, I know there's a strong tradition in the yards of kind of demarcation. And, can you remember, was there any trouble with the unions then, or did the fact that you were at war mean that...
Well, I came in right at the tail end of
yes.
the war, and being so young, really, it didn't register for me that.
Yeah.
There didn't appear to be much conflict with the men and the women.
No.
I was never aware of any conflict.
Yes.
I don't think they ever tried to take the man's job over, quite
no.
honestly.
No.
If they were given the chance to do anything, they would certainly tackle it.
Yes. Yeah.
If they were given a chance to be on a machine or do welding, there was always somebody there that would have a go.
Yeah. Right.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Do you think that was because they felt, in a sense, that that was their contribution to the war effort, were they?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think it was, you know, their form of women's lib. You know, they felt as if they were just as capable.
Yes, yes.
They didn't have the strength, but they had the ability to do many jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the shipyard.
Yeah.
And in many cases, I think they kept the peace, you know, in some of the shops.
Yes, that's...
They maybe kept a calmness in some of the workshops.
Mm.
And they would make the tea for the foreman, and in a way only a woman could.
Yes.
You know, where a man wouldn't be able to cope as well.
Mm.
And I suppose they brought a bit of a woman's touch into the workshops.
Yes.
They probably kept them a lot tidier than a man ever would to begin with.
Right. That's one of the things that has come through in other accounts I've had, that just how, well, for instance, there's a couple of ladies who trained at the training school at Vickers Armstrong on the Tyne to operate the lathe and all those as well.
Yeah.
And one thing that really hit them when they came down to the yard, this was Austin's, just what shambles the place was. You know,
oh, yes. I mean, the women there would, you know, a man would probably see a pile of scrap and it would just get bigger and bigger, but if a woman would stay in the joiner shop, the joiner shop had to be continually swept up, you know, with all the shavings, all the mess. And I mean, the way a man works, if he's making something, he took everything into a corner. Mm. Well, that woman would be continually tidying up all the time.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt the joiner shop in particular would be a much tidier place than what it would have been if a man had been around.
Yeah.
And this reflected, I would think, in most of the little shops, maybe apart from the blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember seeing a lady in the blacksmith shop.
No.
Oh, no.
There was the one in the Doxford's, I believe it was.
Was
I was talking to the other day.
Well, I don't remember. The foreman was there called Mr. Usher.
Oh, yeah.
I should imagine he'd be dead now.
Mm.
I don't remember, but there was definitely one in the fitting shop and the electricians.
Yes.
And I suppose she would have all her little jobs to do.
Yeah. And what they would kind of developed jobs which only the women would do, for instance the tidying of, I've heard cleaning of offices if there was an office attached to whatever
yes.
shop.
There was always a foreman's office attached to the shop in particular, and he would use that, you know, maybe if he had problems with the men or to read his drawings.
Yes.
You always got like a workbench where the foreman used to have his drawings, and this was always kept tidy by the women. I would think on the whole, although you did see women doing men's jobs, I think the main thing in the shipyard was the woman's touch in the shipyard, the tidying up and the making of tea.
Mm-hmm.
But of course ours was a small shipyard.
Yes, that's right.
I suppose in the bigger shipyards you would find that you got more scope.
I was interested in what you were saying about the trousers issue, because I was talking to a lady who was a splicer at Doxford's, and she was saying that, you know, she had to wear trousers, and she was very embarrassed about it. She used to wear this long coat when she came out of the house to hide the fact that she was wearing it.
See, because the trouser age was really just coming in. If you wore trousers to go out, you weren't quite, you know, quite the thing, whereas now trousers is the in thing.
Yes.
You weren't quite a lady if you wore trousers.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I was ticked off by the office staff for wearing trousers.
Yes, yes.
But in no uncertain terms, you know, I had to wear them under the conditions.
Yes.
There's lots of things like that. But women did care about their appearance in the shipyards.
Yes.
In fact, I think it helped a woman. They didn't come down in their rollers or anything like that, you know.
Mm.
I think a lady in the shipyard would try and enhance her appearance to come to work.
Yeah.
They certainly put their makeup on and had their hair nice. I never saw any women that just didn't bother.
No. No.
I think the very fact that they were working with men did help, you know, to encourage them to be smart.
Yes.
They certainly didn't come in all their rags and tatters. They did help with their appearance.
So what would they wear? Would it be overalls and...
Yes, if a woman was working with... If she was scraping paint off, obviously she'd be wearing overalls. Of course, the forewoman never wore overalls. She was very, very smart indeed. She was quite attractive. And needless to say, as she went past the men, there was always wolfers that went on, always.
Yes.
I always remember that.
Yeah.
But they coped with it, and just that water running off the duck's back. They didn't sort of react.
Yeah. Do you think they minded it, though? Did it worry them, or...?
No, they didn't mind it. They just accepted it, coped with it.
Yes.
And they didn't go sort of all giggly. You never saw giggly women in those days.
No.
No, they accepted it. And it never went to the heads.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say they coped with it. But I bet there was many a little romance in the shipyard.
Yes, I've found people already who actually met in the yards and later got married.
Yes, yes. I saw a few cases like that. Probably happy married. But one lady that used to clean the offices out I remember she always used to sit and talk to me and have our morning tea together. And she used to say, only two more years, Iris, and she said, I'll be retired, you know, 65.
Yes.
So there was a lady of retiring age still working in the shipyard, and she was a lovely lady.
Yes.
Quite a religious lady, very religious, and she coped with the man's world and didn't affect her one little bit. So we had a very old lady working in the shipyard.
Yes.
And coping with it very well.
Was there any provision for the women in terms of, did they share the same canteen?
No, they didn't share a canteen. In those days, well, being a small shipyard there again, we didn't have the facilities that Doxford's and J.L. Thompson's had. But the ladies did have their own room where they had their meal and they had their own privacy.
Yes.
Oh yes, they had their own place. But there again, there wasn't a canteen for the men.
No.
You know, if a man had his lunch, he'd usually take his can. He used to have these blue cans.
Yeah, would that be the enamel ones?
The enamel cans, and they came on the braziers as well.
Uh-huh.
Later on, we did get other facilities. But it would be heated on these things. They did have their own privacy, and of course their own toilet facilities.
That's something I was wondering about, because
the forewoman saw to that.
Yeah.
The forewoman played quite a big part in governing the ladies. And if the ladies had any problems, came to the forewoman, and she represented the ladies up in the main office.
Yeah. So she would be fulfilling the role of like a personnel officer.
Yes, in every way, and in no way would she let those ladies be abused.
No.
But on the other hand, if she thought they were wrong, I've heard her ticking them off many a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about something, if she saw any of the ladies being too familiar, that was kept down as well.
Yes.
Or if she did happen to get a lady through that maybe rather fancied the men, that was, you know, kept down as well. It was very closely monitored. She knew exactly what all of our women were doing.
Yes. But it is interesting, because before the start of the war, when obviously they were building up towards it and everyone knew it was coming, the issue of employing women in the yards was raised. And the employers originally, I've got some great statements which say that the shipyards aren't a place where women can be usefully employed. If they were to be usefully employed, they would have to be segregated in a building with four walls and a door. You know, things like that. Mm. But obviously they had to change their tune fairly quickly when the demand for labour passed.
They mixed very well.
Mm-hmm.
They coped, as I say, and I don't think the men, nowadays, as I say, in my husband's factory, if a woman walked along the shop floor, the man would automatically control his language and things like that. But in those days, the women had to adapt to the men.
Yes, yes.
You know, I've gone past the workmen many, many times and overheard things just as a child. You know, a 14-year-old girl nowadays is still very much at school.
Yes.
But those days, you know, you were out at work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite hard. I mean, I can remember I wasn't allowed bus fare to go to work. I had to walk to work.
Yes.
And most of the ladies would probably have to do the same.
Yeah. So where did you live at the time, was it?
I lived at Fulham.
At Fulham, yeah.
Just beside Rugby School.
Oh, that's where my mum lives now.
What are the points?
Well, she just moved down there the last few years, Edna Roberts.
Well, I live just beside.
Yeah, it's Osborne Street, she lives.
Oh, well, I knew loads of people in Osborne Street.
Yeah.
There was a man who came from, he used to be the foreman plater called Keithley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very outstanding family, platers Keithley, very well known. But in general, I think they did a good job.
Yes, and there wouldn't be any allowances made for the women in terms of, you know, letting them have more breaks than the men or anything.
No. They had, as I said before, they had to fit into the man's world.
Yes.
There wasn't an awful lot of adjustment made.
Mm-hmm. So it was the same hours of work, the same holidays?
Yes. They became very much into a man's world and coped with it very well.
Mm-hmm.
and many times if a man, you know, did overstep the mark, they could cope.
Yes.
No, they could cope.
I was wondering, I don't know whether you would know anything about it, but whether the women, if they told you how they worked, whether the women, when they got home after doing a full day's work down the yard, had to then do their usual housework.
Yes. Because as I said before, the man at that time wouldn't be the type of man. Probably you in your era, if your wife was working, you would go home and you would probably get your jobs to do. The man in that era wouldn't.
No.
He would still expect his meal to be on the table.
Yes.
And he would still expect his clean shirt and his overalls to be mended in just the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I lived in the era where all the women had to patch all the trousers. I can remember doing my uncle's trousers. He was a corker at Lane Shipyard.
Yeah.
And I can remember when I used to come, I used to have to patch my uncle's trousers.
Yes.
He died as a result of falling down the hole of the ship. But they saw a lot of tragedy as well in the shipyards.
Yeah.
A lot of accidents that a woman would normally not see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was sitting in the office one day, you won't remember this, when a whole bulkhead of a ship collapsed. And it was a prefabricated bulkhead.
Yes.
And they had to work during the dinner hour
mm-hmm.
to erect this. It was a whole section of a ship,
yep.
you know.
Yes.
And ever so many cranes were working and shipwrights were putting it in position
mm-hmm.
and then it would be all welded. Something went wrong, I don't know, but I was sitting typing and the next minute I remember just this terrible noise. I thought the whole building was coming down around me and this whole bulkhead had collapsed. I can't remember how many men were killed, but there was loads of ambulance appeared in no time at all, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember people just, the confusion was terrible, but it had collapsed on all these men underneath, and see, that was a kind of thing a woman would have to cope with.
Yes.
There was quite a lot of things like that happening. It wasn't a woman's world.
No.
And I was only then, I would be about 17 then, when that happened.
Yeah.
And at 17, a girl here, on this age, is still at college and things like that.
Mm.
We had to cope with the raw stage of life.
Yes. And do you think having experiences like that made a deep impact? I mean, did it change the way you looked at the world?
Oh, without a doubt. Mm. From being very young. I mean, if I was 14 in this area, still at school, I went into a shipyard where you had to cope with men who, the type of men you probably never met in your life before.
Yes.
Because I had never heard bad language at all. My father never swore, my mother didn't. And I used to hear words, and I was very naive, and I used to go and say to my aunt and uncle, come out with this word, you know. What does that word mean? You know, shh, just go, shh, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, why, shh, don't say that word. But she wouldn't tell me what it meant.
Yes.
And it was years before, you know, I was enlightened. And then I used to go shouting, what does that mean? so I don't really know whether the ladies in the shipyard were more aware of what these words meant, but I certainly didn't know what they meant. So many things which we coped with. And I think it's great that you are recording it. You probably get much more information from the women than did the actual work.
I'm grateful, as I say, for any information, because it is that...
They'll probably be able to tell you how they were trained.
Did a job. Yeah, the only problem with that is that, obviously, memories are starting to fade now.
Yes.
And the details of it are still rather elusive at the moment.
Yes,
but, you know, I'm picking a little bit more up every time.
I don't think they were paid as much as the men in those days.
No.
No. I just got the impression, I didn't know because of the day. I don't remember asking them what they did get. But
yes.
I should imagine they definitely weren't paid as much.
Yeah. Well, as I said in that article, there was formal agreements between union and management that they were supposed to get paid equal pay for equal work.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was they were never allowed to do equal work, if you know what I mean.
No.
The process was never, you know, done all the way through. They weren't, they didn't really become a welder. They did tack welding, but
yes,
they couldn't do
yes,
other, you know,
yes.
they couldn't do downhand welding, but not vertical welding.
Well, they were so probably